We don't know how successful this was. It would be fascinating to know what people actually thought when it was announced that Naram-Sin was a god. There's clear discomfort with Naram-Sin's divinity in the later sources, and they use this arrogance and sense of impiety as a way to explain the collapse of Akkadian rule. There is no evidence from sources that date to Naram-Sin's rule that there was any challenge to his identification as a god, but of course there wouldn't be. We don't ever see a written source really challenge a king, at least not up to this point. One of the later texts, The Curse of Akkad, explained the fall of the Akkadians, blaming Naram-Sin specifically for his impiety, and this resulted in the collapse of the Akkadian dynasty. The inscription is supposedly a copy from a stele set up by Naram-Sin. Enlil visited Naram-Sin in a dream, in which the god revealed a terrifying future for Akkad. Naram-Sin refused to share this dream with anyone, but instead hid in his palace for several years, for 7 years, in fact. And at the end of that time, he attacked the temple of Enlil at Nippur. Remember how important Nippur was as a religious center in southern Mesopotamia. That is where all the kings were given their authority, were given the symbolic approval of Enlil, the king of the gods, for their reign. The Curse of Akkad writes that, like a robber plundering the city, he set tall ladders against the temple to demolish Ikur as if it were a huge ship, to break up its soil like the soil of mountains where precious metals are mined, to splinter it like lapis lazuli mountains. He had large axes cast. He had double-edged axes sharpened to be used against it. And the Ikur is the temple of Enlil at Nippur. The text goes on, with the possessions being taken away from the city, good sense left Akkad. Enlil's rage, as recorded in The Curse of Akkad, is intense, and he sent a mountain tribe, the Gutians, an unbridled people, with human intelligence, but canine instincts and monkey features. Like small birds, they swooped on the ground in great flocks. Nothing escaped their clutches. No one left their grasp. Messengers no longer traveled the highways. Brigands occupied the highways. The doors of the city gates of the land lay dislodged in the mud. The motif of foreign tribes acting as the agents of the gods was a common explanation for a change in power in Mesopotamian literature. These foreign tribes often don't live in cities, but rather in the mountains or even in the deserts, where cities wouldn't really be possible because they didn't have the access to the water that was necessary. And you remember that we discussed the idea that geography would promote smaller communities that were less integrated with each other. And the invading tribes that are described in these texts always are very foreign, very remote, not connected to the rest of the area that they are attacking. The texts also characterize these invading tribes, in this particular case the Gutians, as uncivilized, which would probably make them especially fearsome. When the Mesopotamians would combine their lack of civilization with their animal-like appearance, which often occurs in these texts, they would seem completely savage. It's really hard not to imagine the Gutians as the flying monkeys from The Wizard of Oz. All my students immediately think of that image when I have them read this text.